Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Tech News Today for August 10th, Tuesday, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by GoToMyPC. Think remote access to your PC or Mac is complicated? Think again! It's easy with GoToMyPC. For your free 30-day trial, visit GoToMyPC.com/TNT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Becky Worley.
Behind the board is our excellent producer, Eric Lanigan.
Hey guys, how are you?
We are ready to give you the tech news of the day. Did you notice how I flip-flopped the date there?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I put the day. I did a little European thing where I put the day, the number before the day. And
don't mess with me. I'm over here on the East Coast. The time's all early here.
It's dinner time where you are, isn't it?
I know. I'm coming to you live from the ABC studios. So if Diane Sawyer comes in here and takes my place, just go
Becky.
With it.
Yeah.
Just go with it, okay?
All right. We'll just bring her into the show. I'd love to have her on the show. That'd be great.
Okay, I'll talk to her about it.
All right, please. We should start, though, with some sad news. You may have heard that former Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska was killed in a plane crash yesterday. And we did a lot of debating on whether this was a story for Tech News Today or not. But I was getting emails about it. Everyone on Twitter was talking about it. Every tech news blog you could think of is posting the story. And so we figured, well, we have to acknowledge it.
And it's because he has a strange tie to an internet meme that is bizarrely about net neutrality. Tom, I'll let you explain it.
There's not much to explain. Pretty much everybody in our audience knows about the series of tubes speech or off the cuff remarks that Ted Stevens made, and everyone turned it into remixes and all of that. So he is known on the internet for that rather than for his senatorial work. But we just had to pass that along. Meanwhile, in other news, Korea is raiding. They're going on Google raids.
This is Korea. Hello. This story was happening 3 months ago. Google, yes, has admitted that they made an error while going around with their Street View cars and may have gotten some data from Wi-Fi networks. Korea has just issued some sort of warrant for a raid. Where were they for the last 2-3 months?
This is the same issue, the collecting of Wi-Fi data from Google Street View cars that started in Germany back in May. They've been cleared of it in the UK. I think there's still an ongoing investigation of some sort in the United States. But the police just kind of went in and seized 19 KNPA agents, raided the office, seizing hard drives and related documents. And Google said, we'll cooperate. You can take whatever you want. You don't need to raid.
Yeah, the hands up. And I mean, this was also the cyber terror response center of the Korean National Police Agency. And they said they're going to scrutinize the data that they confiscated today. England already did that. And they said it's not that big a deal.
Yeah. So anyway, just a big banner headline. But we can't imagine that we'll end up seeing this turn into anything more dramatic than what we've heard so far. But we'll follow it and find out. Flair for the drama there in Korea. We're getting more responses to Google and Verizon's proposed legislative framework that we talked about yesterday on the show. Of course, if you missed that, Google and Verizon have proposed a way forward in the net neutrality debate, or the open internet debate, as the FCC would prefer you call it. One FCC chairman or commissioner is not very happy with it. Michael Copps has come out saying this is a horrible idea.
Yeah, and he issued a statement that was exactly 3 sentences long. And basically, I'll read you some of it. It says, some will claim that this announcement moves the discussion forward. That's one of its many problems. It's time to move the decision forward, a decision to reassert FCC authority over broadband telecommunications. So it's hard to know. It's such a short, tight statement. What do you read into this agenda from the FCC?
Well, this is Copps. Copps is one of the Democratic commissioners. and so he's very pro-net neutrality. And he is reacting in the way we've seen pretty much every public interest group that is pro-net neutrality react, which is to say, we don't like anything about this plan. We're not even going to listen to it. We need to come forward with an FCC-created plan. But there's been some good analysis about how the Google-Verizon proposed framework, first of all, is just that. It's a proposed framework. It's not a law. It's not even an agreement. It's not binding on anyone, including Google and Verizon. And it's not that different from a lot of the principles that the FCC has been operating under, the six principles that have been put forward. So if the FCC were to take this and move forward with it, it wouldn't be too far off from where they had gone before, but it would give them the backing of Google and Verizon, two companies that have been on both sides of the issue before. However, what's happened is because Google and Verizon had some scare tactics on Friday, and now they've released a plan that is fairly vague, and so people attack it saying it's full of loopholes because it's not written legislation, it's just a framework, it has actually caused the opposite. It's caused the momentum to go against Google and Verizon, and it's put the FCC in a difficult position. I think that's why COPS is most upset.
And I think the issue of net neutrality is so complicated that people have tried to boil it down to it's either you're pro-big government regulating this or you're pro-businesses coming up with their own solutions. So when Google and Verizon talk about a fairly tepid solution, people just get nervous because they assume, oh, they're big businesses, they must have their own agenda at heart. Is that fair?
I think that characterizes the two sides of it. And why we haven't had more progress is that it's really hard to find common ground. Once this issue got politicized, it became like healthcare. Maybe not as important and maybe not as huge, but definitely as divisive, and people not willing to listen to any of the other side's arguments. I think what Google and Verizon were trying to do here is say, hey, even though we have very differing opinions on how this should work, we want to show that there is some compromise. I don't think it's working, though. I don't think anyone is paying attention to that. We're still getting a lot of the bluster about how this is Google selling out the internet to corporate interests on the one hand, or, you know, this is still an example of overregulation and the wrong people regulating and not allowing business to go forward on the other hand. It's probably less criticism coming from the corporate interest side than there is from the public interest side, though.
It also sounds like there's some agonizing going on within Google itself. Hard to know if the net neutrality issue is the key point of derisive behavior between its founders, but the Wall Street Journal is reporting that privacy concerns within Google have Sergey Brin and Larry Page yelling at each other.
Well, this is, you know, you think that's a little drama-y? I think it's a little dramatic. It is a document from 2008. Where those two and a few others went through all of the different privacy implications of what they were doing and what could they ethically do with the kind of data they're collecting. And this was never actually presented to any of the Google executives. It was just sort of a background document, a hypothetical, if you will, that the Wall Street Journal got a hold of now.
But it was sort of like a mission statement brainstorming is what it sounded like. Like, who are we? What are we about? What are our core ethics here? What do we mean when we say don't be evil? And I think that you can see this real identity crisis within the company. They go and buy DoubleClick. They buy companies that are absolutely all about metrics and collection of data. They buy the balloon that you guys talked about that's going to be taking photos of pictures,
which is apparently just for private use, but we'll we'll see.
But so, I mean, I think there is this corporate identity crisis if that's what they're about, or if they're about something else that's more altruistic.
My problem with this story is that you've got a two almost 3 year old document at this point, and it's a background document. It's a document. I remember way back in the tech TV days making a document like this for Call for Help, where we all met out in a park, and there's crazy ideas in there. I still have it, actually.
And Tom, how'd that Call for Help work out? I mean, was 12 years ago, but I haven't worked with you since.
I know, seriously. But
Google doesn't blow up over this.
I bring this up because there are ideas in there for segments and things that we never ended up doing and never would have ended up doing, but that we're, you know, all ideas were equal and we had to get them down. And that's what's going on here. So I think there's a temptation to jump on this and say things that weren't meant to be solid. I'm sure people expressed opinions in here for the sake of expressing opinions, just the way we do on this show. I mean, we play devil's advocate all the time. It doesn't necessarily mean that's what we believe, but it helps to bring the argument out. On the other side, though, it's a fascinating look into what you're talking about, the identity crisis and the brainstorming that's going on at Google about what do we want to be? We never planned to be this huge, you know, in our wildest dreams. How do we act responsibly when we're this large and know this much about humanity?
Yeah, you know that there's got to be a really great backstory. And a lot of times with this sort of corporate intrigue, you don't get any of that until years and years on. So when you see little glimpses, it's interesting. I also like to think that our analogy to call for help is helpful in terms of something that you and I can both relate to. But perhaps you and I are self-aggrandizing just a little bit. We could have been Google, buddy. We could have been way back
when. Well, no, I'm not trying to say we were ever Google, but I'm just saying any enterprise, you do brainstorming about stuff and you write things down that you wouldn't want to get out to the public because it's brainstorming, right?
It's
definitely a different thought process than when you know that the world is going to see it. But that's what makes it so interesting.
Just like the document we have here that says the Twitch should harvest our viewers' organs.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just
an idea.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not saying we're going to do that. It's so we can evaluate whether harvesting organs is a good or a bad thing.
Exactly.
Overall.
You have to look at all monetization options, guys.
Right. It's called due diligence. All right, let's quickly thank our sponsors. GoToMyPC, still made by Citrix, though. Some of you may not have tried GoToMyPC because you've heard us talk about GoToAssist or GoToMeeting, but GoToMyPC makes controlling another PC easy. Now, that may sound complicated, but it's not. Here's how it works. You go to the PC or Mac you want to access remotely, open up your web browser, the computer you want to access remotely from, open up your web browser, sign up for the free trial at GoToMyPC.com, and click download. The setup is completely automatic, takes about 2 minutes, and then when you want to access that computer, you just go to another computer, open up a web browser, take that web browser to GoToMyPC.com, enter your secure password, and click connect. You're in. So that means you can have somebody else do it. Say, here's what you do. You're on the phone. Set it up. Boom. GoToMyPC is accessed. Or you can just access your own PC from home, from the office, on the road. All your files are there. You don't have to worry about syncing. You don't have to take all that stuff along. You just click connect from whatever web browser you got. Use any program you work with. It's easy to try for free, actually. GoToMyPC, free for 30 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com/TNT. GoToMyPC.com/TNT, and you'll get 30 days of GoToMyPC. Why not try it out? Put it on your computer at home. Try it out from a few locations, from work, from a friend's house. See how you like it. GoToMyPC.com/TNT. We thank them for their support. Is Microsoft quietly opening up a Kinect beta program? Asks Engadget, and then answers it in the following paragraphs. It seems like they are.
And Tom wants in.
I do want in. So this is funny. It's the Microsoft Kinect customer feedback service is apparently sending out Kinect beta program invites. So Kinect with a C versus Kinect with a K. And one of them is just a program for people to get customer feedback. And the other is a thing that lets you wave your arms and control your Xbox 360.
Lest they be confused. But what I tell you is confusing is people want in on this demo. You can see in the reams of comments underneath the story on the Engadget page that people are just clamoring to figure out how they can get an invite. And it looks like it's very select few. And yes, you know, Tom, you didn't get yours. I didn't get mine. We're sad. But I think that it's interesting to see that sometimes the fervor around the beta for these gaming sites gives you an indication of how excited people are. And I think that the fervor is high. What's your read?
Yeah, I think people are very excited to try this out. I am no exception to that. And it looks like, according to Joystick, the invitees will have the chance to sample video chat. So there's another side of it besides playing games, which is the ability to do some video calls. Apparently, the invite says you're limited to only having video chat with other people in the program. But that means you'll get to try it out, you know, and chat with some folks who are using it and get excited about that side
chat,
of things.
Also play head-to-head through video remotely. And so you'll see the other person next to you while you're gaming, and that's all through the video chat function. So that's cool.
I think people are more likely to use this to talk to each other than they would Skype in a television. The problem is, you know, the age-old example of this is, oh, you can call grandma on the video phone. Grandma doesn't have an Xbox 360, and I doubt that unless you just buy one and force it on her, that grandma and grandpa, either one, are really going to want. Now, before you write the email, absolutely there are exceptions to that. There are video game-busting grandparents out there who are kicking ass and taking names in Halo. I understand that, but they are probably not over the 50% of the demo.
You know what the fastest-growing demo is? Over 55 women gamers are the fastest-growing demo, and it's been that way for a long time, and they're showing the same intensity. Granted, it's probably not in RPGs or first-person shooters,
but casual
they show
games.
The same intensity in casual games as teenage boys. And I think you make a really good point about the fact that people already have this technology integrated for gaming. It's going to bring that sort of couch video conferencing to forbearance as opposed to having to set it up on grandma's TV. I think that's actually a really good point because we talked a lot about Skype for big TVs and HD Skype and it built into TVs. I have not seen that since its big hype laden debut at CES. So you make a good point. That's probably going to be a tipping point.
Larry Ellison hasn't been in the news lately, and so he decided to slam the HP board for firing CEO Mark Hurd at the end of last week. Mark Hurd, of course, taken down because of allegations of sexual harassment, which he was cleared of, but he didn't pass the ethical review at HP, so they asked him to step down. Larry Ellison said the HP board just made the worst personnel decision since the idiots on the Apple board fired Steve Jobs many years ago. That's the quote. I'm not calling anyone idiots. Larry Ellison is.
Yeah, apparently Larry Ellison and Mark Hurd play tennis together. So either he had to defend his buddy, he wanted to get some press, or he just wanted to stir the pot. Hard to know. But I mean, he does make a good point. Is some of this just doesn't make sense. And there have been some conspiracy theories coming out that maybe the HP board wanted to get rid of Hurd anyways, which doesn't totally make sense given that he's had a pretty successful tenure. But there's a logic gap here. And I think Business Insider did it best. They said, if Hurd defrauded HP by putting in bogus expense reports, if he was covering up this relationship or worse, embezzled money, absolutely he should be fired. But he shouldn't get the $12 million, some people estimate $40 million in total worth of severance that he's getting. That doesn't make sense. He should have just been straight sacked. But if he didn't do anything wrong or he has good explanation for what happened, then they should have defended him. So it doesn't quite add up.
Yeah, it's so odd to think of a corporation coming to some sort of committee compromise decision that doesn't make any sense instead of a very clear, definitive decision. I never hear corporations do that.
Oh, no, they're so logical,
exactly.
Tom, and especially when a PR firm is involved, as has happened here.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a good point. Tell us about that. I love this part of the story.
There's a crisis PR firm named APCO, and they're based in, I think, D.C., and they handle all kinds of crisis stuff, and they've worked with Microsoft and Intel, and they actually wrote up a fake news story trying to show HP what could happen if this story got blown out of proportion and how it would impact them. Because it might actually hurt their stock, not like the $9 billion they lost in stock value when they sacked Hurd. What?
Well, this is the dilemma, right? They may still have been right. If they had tried to hide this and cover it up, it may have blown up even worse. It may have forced Hurd to have to step down under pressure, and that may have hurt the stock even worse, or this whole thing may have lasted even longer, but we'll never know. And so you can't win for good advice in this situation because you're going to have Hurd stepping down and the stock price tanking no matter what happens. And I think they're right. I think you can't expect that the public isn't going to find out about this stuff. The journalists aren't going to dig it up and it isn't going to come out. So trying to control the message from the top, probably not a bad idea, but it certainly doesn't look like it helped them a lot.
No.
On to the Motorola Droid 2, which is not in any way facing a sexual harassment charge or any kind of ethical review. It is, in fact, no longer even in rumor stage. How long have we been talking about the Droid 2? This is.
I got to admit something here, Tom.
Yeah.
It's out. So let's talk about it here. But the hard part is I've signed an embargo. I'm looking at it. The thing
what?
Is cool.
What do you mean you're looking at it? Hold on. Let's tell people. It's Android 2.2. It comes with Swipe. It's $200 on contract. It's finally official. It's up for pre-order today. It'll be in stores on Thursday. And you're saying you're looking at it right now?
It's in my hands, and I want to tell you about it, but I can't tell you about it till Thursday, so I can just use some adjectives.
This is why I don't use embargoes,
I know,
because I would be holding it up right now.
I know, but I have to stay true to my word. I'm going to show it out hopefully on GMA Thursday, but let me tell you, smaller form factor, like the keyboard, and I can't talk much about it, but the search by voice features, wow. That's something that you should look forward to, and that's going to be...
Wow, parse that, folks.
Android Y,
my friend.
This
is silly. You know what? Why give it to you if they don't want people... I mean, really, does it really affect... How much could you holding it up on TNT right now just really affect the sales of Droid? I'm not trying to get you to do anything bad. I don't want to get you in trouble, but why would they even put that restriction on? You know what? Just let people look at it. It worked for Mark Hurd. You know, they were totally open and honest. Merit.
You're a bad influence on me.
Anyway,
I keep my promises.
You should keep your promises. I don't want to get you in trouble. But $20 a month, mobile hotspot, Android 2.2, QWERTY keyboard, and available for pre-orders tomorrow. And wait, you don't have the R2-D2 edition, do you?
No, I don't. Okay. I don't. That is cool.
The R2-D2 edition portal has gone live, so apparently that will be coming out as well.
I do have the Sony Ericsson phone.
I thought you scared me for a second. I thought you were holding it up. I thought you finally gave in.
Psych. No.
Is that the X10, the Sony Ericsson X10? I feel like we've been seeing that in blogs for years.
Yeah, no, it's been coming out for a while. And what I can tell you that's interesting is it has your standard sort of Android home. But what's funky is they have this overlay of their own media stuff. It's called MediaScape. And it's kind of like Sony attempting to do their own flavor of an Android phone, and it's kind of cool, but it sort of doesn't make sense and feels a little desperate. So I'll be digging into this more, but it's a cool phone, and especially if you love Sony Ericsson phones, but there's nothing here that's groundbreaking. Let's just put it that way.
All right. None of them can be spied on in Saudi Arabia like a BlackBerry can, though. BlackBerry service will be monitored in Saudi Arabia. That's all the reports that we're hearing. Saudi Arabia has called off the ban. They had given an extra extension from Friday till Monday. They now say that they've reached an agreement or an understanding, depending on who you read, with Research in Motion, and they will no longer be banning the BlackBerry Messenger service in Saudi Arabia. Depending on what you read, RIM has either agreed to place a server in Saudi Arabia or has agreed to give the encryption keys to Saudi Arabia, or maybe has just allowed them to tap directly into the stream for data coming to and from Saudi Arabia, and it's up to Saudi Arabia to decrypt it. It's really hard to tell at this point what exactly is going on, but if you're in Saudi Arabia or you're headed to Saudi Arabia and you want to use your BlackBerry for BlackBerry Messenger, you will be able to.
That is, I was just double checking you. All three of your little logic points about the if-then scenarios on how it works, I think you've got it right, Tom.
Yeah.
I'm supporting your logic on this thing.
Well, it's just, we don't know.
It's all over the map. I mean, that's what's kind of fascinating is RIM is staying so quiet on this. And analysts really differ in their opinion of what might be happening. One guy, he's a Gartner analyst in London, Nick Jones. He says he definitely thinks that they're just giving them the encrypted streams and saying, hey, there you go. Good luck with it.
Yeah.
And the Saudi Arabian government has said they're not accommodating all of our requests, but enough that we will keep the service live. So this is a fascinating story that has not gotten clearer as it has evolved.
And it's only causing more countries to weigh in on this. We've talked about this a lot. Of course, United Arab Emirates were the first to break last week. They've got an October deadline for RIM to come to an agreement with them over the BlackBerry. But now India is saying that they are going to come to a decision by Thursday that will decide the fate of BlackBerry services in India. Nilay Patel was on This Week in Tech on Sunday, said that India has been going after RIM for quite a while over this very issue. They're concerned over the misuse of BlackBerry and similar devices to send encrypted data. They say they don't want to spy on everyone. They do only with good cause. Of course, that's what everyone says. But the Home Ministry says it is almost certain that India will set a deadline for telecom operators to either get RIM to give security agencies access to monitor BlackBerry communications or shut down its services.
This is a real dog pile. So basically RIM's on the bottom, and all these countries who've wanted access to the encrypted streams are piling on because they gain power as more countries jump on the bandwagon. So as of right now, I did the math. It's about 2 million subscribers if you add in UAE, Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and India. So the more countries that pile on, it's like a co-op. We've basically got sort of a group on for getting your encryption stream from RIM.
Starts with Saudi Arabia, then it's the Emirates, then it's Lebanon, and then it's India, and then it's Indonesia. And some people think China already has it, and it goes from there. So pretty much every country that wants a data center, it's a good stimulus program, right? You get a data center brought, you know, create some jobs. Good idea. All right, let's move on to the news fuse.
Oh, yes. Wow, an animation.
Yes, thanks to L for making that animation intro to News Fuse. He's got one with an explosion. We'll try to get that one in tomorrow.
Ooh, yes. What does he say? It burns quickly and it ends with a bang. So I'll get you going here. Nintendo has announced the sales for its Wii have crossed the 30 million mark in the U.S. The company passed that milestone in 45 months, which Nintendo claims makes it the fastest selling console ever.
Microsoft is advising Hotmail users who can't access their email accounts to try Google's Chrome browser in order to successfully connect. The latest version of Hotmail launched last week, but since then, the company has received many complaints of scripting errors, disappearing email, and problems just accessing the accounts at all.
UK listeners, we warned you about this, and now it turns out that web-based malware that's from the Zeus botnet has led to a fraudulent withdrawal of more than $1 million from online banking accounts. This is all victims infected by the Zeus banking Trojan variant, and the Trojan has swiped customers' online banking IDs, hijacked their online banking sessions, and mostly targeted British victims who had substantial balances in their accounts.
PC prices could rise in the next several months because memory will be in short supply. iSupply, an analyst, warns that DRAM supply could not meet demand, or might not meet demand, because some manufacturers won't be able to get the semiconductor lithography tools that they need to accommodate making more of these chips.
Peter Skillman, the vice president of design at Palm, has left the company. All this according to TechCrunch. Skillman has 20 years of product design experience, most famously being in charge of the design for the Palm pre and post acquisition. He says, I'm out of here.
Yeah, right. He's gonna
not
take
alone.
He got his acquisition money cashed out and he's off, especially with the Palm pre being unfortunately a disappointment. It's, you know, it was a device everybody loved. But nobody bought.
Yeah. So. I recommended it to a friend who I saw today here in New York. And he said to me, why? Why did you recommend the pre? It's gone now. I invested all this time learning it. I loved it. But now it's gone.
Yeah, it's a sad, sad fate. Well, he probably should have got an iPhone. If he wanted to boost his love life. I'm not sure what the Palm Pre love life is like. But stats show that iPhone owners get more sex than BlackBerry or Android owners, men and women.
Oh, yeah, it's considerable. And it's also not just the amount, but it's the number of partners for iPhone users is higher by magnitude of about 20% than BlackBerry, and Android following behind. Now, interestingly enough, women who own these phones say they got more sex than their male counterparts.
Well, now, like all of these iPhone stats, we have to break this down. They're not saying they're getting more sex. They're getting an average number of sexual partners at age 30 is higher for women.
I think I can correlate those two thoughts.
Yeah?
Yes.
This is
those
also,
two things go together.
This is also coming from OkCupid's survey of 550,000 user pictures. Digital SLR makes you look more attractive. Panasonic cameras make you sexier than Nikon's. And while using a flash will make you look 7 years older, a large aperture lens makes you look hotter. So there's a lot more to this study than just which operating system will get you more average sexual partners at age 30. This is totally useless for me at age 40, by the way.
And I'm sure that the methodology was top shelf on all of this data collection. And I would like to say that given the recent growth of Android, I think probably this is probably not quite up to date. In fact, don't we have a viewer who agrees that this is just very, very wrong data?
Yeah, actually, anecdotally, we had a viewer wrote in, I think it was Craig. Yeah, Craig says, have to tell you, I have a Droid phone and I'm doing pretty well.
So we want you, viewers of Tech News Today, to let us know about your phone and your... No, I'm just kidding.
No, what we do want you to do is look through the data from OkCupid and see if you can spin this around to be a positive for 40-year-old BlackBerry users. That's not me, but I'm just saying. Oh. I bet you could spin this data around some way to make it work for somebody else.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. I think we should leave this story before I get kicked out of the ABC newsroom.
Yes, on to the calendar. What do you see coming in the calendar for this fine day?
Well, Netflix has announced a deal with Epix. This is the Paramount, MGM, and Lionsgate movies that will start streaming on Netflix starting September 1st. This is great news for those of us who have the Roku box and love our streaming options, but have been frustrated by the lack of current movie titles and sort of cruddy selection. So this really should bump up the movies that we're seeing. This is movies like Up in the Air, what was one of the other, Iron Man, all the Iron Man series. So I think we're really going to see some good movies coming in here. Today is Microsoft Patch Tuesday.
That's right, everybody. This is the epic Patch Tuesday, the biggest Patch Tuesday on record in recorded history. And in fact, we've recorded all of Patch Tuesday history. So that means it's the biggest Patch Tuesday ever. So go update your Windows. In fact, I should do it in my virtual machine right now.
I'm doing all the motions for you because you sound like Crazy Eddie. It's the biggest Patch Tuesday ever.
Come on down to Microsoft Windows and get the biggest Patch Tuesday ever.
Which actually leads right into my other calendar item. Every once in a while, I like to know, let you know about a deal in the calendar, because not only do you want a deal, but sometimes it's a trend that you may not have noticed. It snuck up on you. This one blew me away. A 60-inch LCD, 1080p, 240 hertz, Sharp is the brand, price, 60 inches, $1,600.
Not
when
bad.
Did that happen?
That's especially with the 240 hertz. That's pretty nice. Yeah, 60 inch.
That's crazy nuts. That may be only like a one-day-only kind of deal, but it shows you a trend. Holy cow, these prices are getting so fracking low.
They're practically giving them away.
Come on. Finally, we've got a couple more calendar items. HP has told their employees that a webOS tablet will be coming Q1 of 2011, despite all of the Palm departures. This apparently is going to happen. And the Dell Streak is going to hit the streets August 13, $299.
Not bad. Little, you know, it's above the $199 benchmark. But if you're looking at it as an iPad replacement, it's pretty cheap.
Yeah, it's an iPad mini.
All right. Let's go on to our voicemails. 260-TNT-SHOW is the phone number. You can give us a call like Eric did. In fact, he's got one to add to the calendar for us.
Hi, TNT. It's Eric from Maryland. I just wanted to call in and give you a heads up about something that you should have on your calendar for this week. Thursday, August 11th is the first day of a Star Wars convention in Orlando called Star Wars Celebration 5. It's Lucasfilm's official convention. This year we're celebrating the 30th anniversary of The Empire Strikes Back, and it's going to be a good time. George Lucas is going to be there. He's being interviewed on stage by Jon Stewart. It's 4 days. That ends on Sunday. And, Tom, I know you like Star Wars, so just thought I would mention that to you. I think it's of interest to your audience.
What? Is he saying that I don't like Star Wars?
No, no. He said, Tom, I know you like Star Wars. He just didn't know you like it.
Okay, I'm just telling you. 30 years old, Empire Strikes Back, does that date you? Do you know where you were? I think I saw it in Kamloops, B.C. Like, I can pinpoint the date. I'm old.
I saw it at St. Clair Square, Empire Strikes Back.
I saw it on VHS.
You're young. Shut up.
I saw Star Wars the first of the six times I saw it on the drive-in theater in Springfield, Illinois, as a double feature with Grizzly Adams.
Ooh, Grizzly Adams. That's a weird, that's kind of like a Chewbacca tie-in.
Yeah, it was like a family films.
Family night. Right. That's nice.
On to the emails to tnt@twit.tv. That's our email address, tnt@twit.tv. Just listened to TNT episode 49 and wanted to comment on the story of Apple purchasing CDMA chips. I believe Apple isn't releasing a Verizon iPhone in January. They're releasing a Verizon iPad. The iPad was introduced in January this year, and Apple likes to update their mobile handheld devices on an annual cycle. Releasing an iPad on Verizon wouldn't break their exclusivity deal with AT&T for the iPhone. Currently, the iPad with 3G can be purchased without a contract and on a month-to-month plan. Apple could easily offer a 3G AT&T version or a 4G Verizon version. This would be an introductory first step towards moving their iPhones to Verizon. If Verizon can handle the bandwidth of the iPad, might we see a Verizon iPhone option in July? Thanks, says Fred.
I'm buying it. I'm totally buying it.
I don't think it's 4G. I think it's still 3G, but I could see that. I mean, these are CDMA chips, not LTE chips, right? So I could totally see that because I don't think we're ready for a Verizon iPhone. I still think Apple would wait until 4G is rolled out to make that jump to Verizon. I still think the exclusivity agreement is in place, but it would be a great way for Apple to work around that and start having a relationship with Verizon to say, hey, you get an iPad. In fact, maybe they'd have it on Sprint and T-Mobile also. Say, you know what? The new 7-inch iPad or whatever it's rumored to be, it's going to be available on whatever carrier you want.
I think given all of the dueling iPhone Verizon rumors, this is the one that makes all of the rumors pretty much make sense. So I'm buying it. Thank
also,
you very much,
Curtis
Fred.
B. in the chat room points out CDMA chips are big and the iPad has enough room to accommodate them. So good job, Fred. Nice bit of rumor mongering there. I appreciate your mongering abilities.
Next up, Craig in Little Rock, who has more of a conspiracy theory. He says, does Google equal Spectre, a giant organization that wants to control all of the world's information and deploys drones that can see through walls? Wasn't James Bond paid to take down groups like this?
Best part Cheers. Of this email is that as soon as you tried to say Google, the Skype went all crackly and it tried to censor what you were saying.
They are messing with me. They've got their drone right over this building and they see where they're putting their death ray on me.
It's right behind you, Doc.
Fudge. Just in case there was a cobra there too. Google does not equal. Well, I don't know. He makes a good point here. When you describe them that way, Google and Spectre have a lot in common.
I think this is when talking about all of the responsibility that comes with all of the technology that they've been so successful at innovating, this is that whole concept of noblesse oblige. You know, to those who are given much, much is expected. And Google is really, they're trying to figure it out. And I think that it's an ugly adolescence as you balance power with responsibility. And I think it's fascinating. I'm psyched just to be on the sidelines. Just don't be death raying me from above, okay?
Yeah, really. Okay? Hopefully, we'll see you tomorrow.
I hope so, too.
If you make it. If not, I'm going to be really lonely. So check us out at twit.tv/TNT. You can email us, tnt@twit.tv, or give us a call, 260-TNT-SHOW. That's 260-TNT-SHOW. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.